ESPN 97.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, that means two to go. Second hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in Houston. Coming off a Roughnecks win, they're 4-0. Rockets win, they've won six straight. We were talking Rockets before the break, so that kind of leads us into some dialogue.
Got some texts about it, about different things, and I figured we could just get comment on these. First one was, what do you guys think of Mike D'Antoni now? A couple months ago, people were calling for his job. I think we've discussed this before, but in my opinion, he's basically all in. He's like, if I'm going to go out, let me go out my way, and this is my way.
Mine's simple. See me in June. Let me know in June where they finished, how they did, because it was pretty obvious from, if you just want, you can get our opinions, but from the owner's opinion, it was basically take us on a long run or take your stuff out of here.
He's kind of singing a different tune now, though. Right?
A little bit, yeah. We heard those quotes last week.
Yeah, he is. And look, I think just to his point, I think it's just earned him a little bit more time, right? Because we were talking about potentially him getting fired before the postseason even began. Now we're not really talking about that.
Yeah.
As long as the success continues, you know, I feel like it earns them the title at least through the remainder of the regular season and maybe even through the postseason, but that's about it. I don't know if that necessarily earns them another season or a contract.
No guarantees after this season based on how well they do in the playoffs, but Nick's right. He bought himself not only time, but an opening.
Because there was a point when you were saying if they lose this, he may not make it through this month.
I don't know if it was the Boston game here or what, but we were talking. Yeah, there was a couple of huge slip-ups where you're like, well, I don't know if he survives the week.
Well, you couple that with Barry's prediction that almost was correct and the fact that they almost became a seven seed at one point this season.
At the end of a month, yeah.
And that was the end of, what did I say, the end of January, right?
Either that or February. I don't remember which month, but it was either last month or January.
January or December.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, it was the end of January because they had that brutal stretch where they played Denver twice and then they finished with Portland and Dallas, had Utah in there. And so you look at the end of January to the end of February and how they've turned it around. Now they are in the four seed past Utah.
Completely different dynamic.
On the heels of the Clippers to be a three seed. And
I think the door was completely shut in Tillman's mind after this season, at the end of this season.
Going into the season.
Unless they made, no. Well, yeah. Going into the season and during the first part of the season, I think the door was completely shut unless they at least made the finals.
Yeah.
And now I think he's opened up a little bit of the other eye and went, you know, there's a chance we bring him back because this style does work. And also, look, as much as we say about the NFL, it's still about making money. And if you're a competitive and exciting regular season team like they are right now, you're going to put butts in seats, sponsors are going to want to get behind you, and you're still going to make money whether you make the first round or the final round.
And don't think, with all this going on, that Daryl Morey hasn't also bought himself some leeway after the Hong Kong tweet.
I completely agree with that.
Because you're same thing. I imagine at one point when they lost 5 of 6 going down at the end of January, that Fertitta was looking around going, let's see, Hong Kong costed us $400 billion as a league. This dude can't win. We've lost 5 of 6. He's never won. He's got one of the best scorers on the planet. Can't get the job done.
He traded away Chris Paul because of a disagreement, and he's kicking ass in OKC.
Well, and that's the thing, yeah. That's a great
point,
too.
To put two guys that are exactly alike on the same squad, and they're going to make it work.
Yeah, and so he had to have been thinking. And then fast forward 29 days later, and he's going, hey, this is awesome, man.
I guess you got to give Fertitta credit for not firing him, although it would have been a bad look if he did because of the tweet. But,
yeah.
I mean, if it was me, I would have fired. You messing with my Mandarin letters on my jersey? Man, you're gone.
Well, and think about gone. This, too. And just to add to what you're saying, from the Les Alexander perspective, which is what I was familiar with, it's basically like checks and balances. So, Nick, I know what your salary is. Let's say it's $10,000, right? You're making 10 grand, but you just cost me because of one tweet, 4 or 5 sponsors that are bringing in 50 to 60 grand. When I look at that ledger,
money has to equate into his decision.
Whole 40
it has
grand
to
grand because of you, and when, you're gone. And I'm saying
billionaires don't become billionaires because they're nice.
Exactly. It has to affect Fertitta's decision a little bit, even though it would have been a bad look.
Because you're talking about from a league perspective, Silver said it cost him about 200 mil.
I thought it was 400 mil.
And maybe it was that much.
The number that I saw was 400 mil.
He said no more than 400 mil, so you're right.
It personally cost the Rockets franchise about $8 million in sponsorships from Asia.
Yeah, I like $8 million.
It was $13 million a team is what it came out
Daryl.
It came out to $390 million, $13 million in the team.
So just under $400 million.
So Daryl's salary was equal to how much you just lost. If you make one more slip up and you don't improve this roster, you're damn right he was on the hot seat.
All right, so we got a little bit. Go ahead before I read the next one.
My final point would be on the Rockets is the only thing, because I've given them a lot of credit, so I feel like I'm a lot of poop on them a little bit about the whole small ball situation, is they're not afforded as many mistakes. Because in that fourth quarter, they made the right decision in fouling with not too much time left in regulation. They were up by three, so they forced the Celtics to shoot only two free throws, knowing that even if they made those two free throws, they still would not be able to tie the game. Tatum, I think he misses.
On purpose.
No, the first one he misses on accident. The second one he misses on purpose.
That's right.
How do you not get that rebound?
Yeah.
Guess who was it? 13.
See that can't happen, dude. Yeah. Because if they lost that game, that's the play that they would have brought up. Yeah. You let him get a freaking offensive rebound after he purposely missed the second free throw.
Yeah.
See, that can't happen. That can't happen with...
That's called crap in your pants.
So we'll get to that. Josh and Beaumont, the Giannis beef is going to have a negative impact on James. He's going to start competing against Giannis in the box score rather than the team they're playing. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Okay.
I first of all, I like it. But here's where I'm going to be on. I'm going into the defense of James Harden, okay? Because of the fact that when you think about it, and everybody's like, "Oh, he was rude. He was out of place for saying that all you got to be is 7 foot and be able to dribble and dunk, and that doesn't take any skill. What he does takes skill." The fact of the matter is, if that was the first comment made, then shame on James because he's stirring it up, right?
Exactly.
But because it happened in response to
Giannis.
Two different comments. One during the All-Star draft, which is supposed to be just fun and games with the fellas, saying, "I want a guy that's going to pass me the ball, so I'm going to pass on Harden and I'm going to take Kemba Walker." Yeah. And then he follows it up after the game by saying, when they said, "What was your strategy in the fourth quarter?" saying, "Our strategy was to get the ball to whoever James Harden was guarding." You've made it far too personal.
You're taking shots.
And that's on you. So this weekend, the Bucks were on. And Giannis is like, "Oh, I'm not the guy. I'm not the kind of guy to take shots. I don't want to do all this." Well, you did bro.
You said those words.
Yeah.
But I could see that, though. I think Josh has a point. I could see where Harden is looking at his numbers and looking at Giannis's numbers and going, "Okay, so this is what he did. That's the kind of guy, that's the kind of guy he is. But I think there's enough. I mean, if that motivates him to start making more threes, then I'm all for it, because 4 of 17 is awful.
At least make at least one in the late going into the fourth quarter.
Now, that transitions us to this next text, which, okay, we're going to have to go to break, so I don't want to. But we can answer it on the other side. Did he or did he not mess his pants? There's pictures on the internet. We got to discuss. Did Harden or did he not poop his pants?
I actually saw the headline. I have to look at the pictures in the break.
Go look at the picture at the break. Nick. We'll see. Did he or did he not poop his pants?
Is Jimmy Harden...
Not figuratively. I'm talking literally. Poop his pants.
Is Jimmy Harden Mr. Poopy Pants? That and more coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through our number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this Monday. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel in the studio, kicking around Rockets talk. After a big win there. By the way, they're on TV early tonight from the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. 6 o'clock tip, Rockets and the Knickerbockers. Lon Rose not going to have a press conference to be the new president of basketball operations for the Knicks.
But he did come out and say, please be patient to
which
Knicks
you
fans.
Heard before.
Yes.
Also said he'd rather do things behind the scenes to try and build up trust and belief rather than have a press conference and do a lot of stuff in the media. Now, there's a refreshing twist that I like.
So, did you look at the picture, Nicholas?
I did.
All right. Well, you go first. Did he or did he not, and he being James Harden, poop his pants?
I'm going to go with no.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with no. I want to say yes because I want to make fun of him just as bad as you do. I think he was. It was possibly like a situation where he was sweating, and then what he usually wears, like maybe black under, and I think maybe that's what it is. I don't know if he actually pooped.
So
I think the sweat just looks darker than it should be is what I'm trying to say. But I could be wrong. He could have really pooped his pants. I'm not for sure.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious. And I don't know why anybody would post that picture, but Barstool was very quick to
do. Barstool and others. There were several people that were all over this.
Yeah.
What say you, Barry Laminack?
I'm going to say from the picture, I'm not so sure that he pooped his pants, but he probably sharted.
I was going to say, this is a pretty common topic on the suspects.
Well, we're very childish.
But how many times have you sharted late 20s?
Is he a drinker, Nick?
How much time you got?
Does he like to go out a lot? Because normally people in their late 20s that drink and go out have a tendency to lose a little bit.
Was he sick? Did he have the flu?
Not that I know.
You don't replace the brake pads, though. You don't have quite the quickness on padding the brakes.
Somebody texted the show and said, I hope he had on his emergency underwear like Barry did last week.
That's why it's bad. Because he normally always wears like those, I don't want to say rash guards, but like those, what are those tights
compression
called?
Compression pants.
Compression pants. Yeah.
I'm going to guarantee you that the uniform was clean at the start of the day.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I absolutely guarantee it because I will say this.
I may or may not have had
some intel and also maybe took a vile shot or two to try and stir someone's feelings up. But I'm pretty sure that was a clean uni at the start of the game.
Let me tell you, that wasn't brought up in post game. I guarantee you.
Oh, no way.
No one was messing with James.
Bobby McFerrin here from CBS Boston. Did you poop yourself?
Of course, if Barry was at the game with me, he would have been in my ear.
Nick, you've got to ask this question, bro. If you don't ask him, you're a chicken bleep.
Yeah.
How do you not ask? Yeah. God, do your job, Nick.
Yeah. And then my dumbass would have like given in and then actually asked, and then I would have been banned from the Rockets game.
Did you just say Bobby McFerrin from CBS?
I just couldn't. That's the name.
If it was Bobby McFerrin.
Don't worry, be happy.
No, James, did you poop?
I mean, you know what would help James if he embraced that situation? Yeah. In my opinion, I'd be like, you know what, man?
Here's the flip
I'm not
side.
Saying he should
well,
admit.
Well, I went up and I thought I was going to get the layup and it scared the bleep out of me. I didn't, I just.
That's absolutely fantastic. Because you know the thing, on the flip side, what I was worried about is once he heard, because of course he doesn't look at this stuff. He said the same thing about Giannis' quotes, which is false.
You don't tell me right now, James Harden doesn't know the entire internet is questioning
both
whether
of your
he
phones,
crapped
sir.
His pants.
You're looking on social media.
Yeah.
That I would
both
have
of your
is
phones. Ooh,
after the game
pool,
when he got
it's
word
all over
of it,
his public.
Or at some point when he got word of it, that he hammered on Tony.
You think
that,
so?
No, I said that's where I would have the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't go to a dude that you know, bust his tail behind the scenes is not making what you're making or anything, and just staying under, incognito, and try and get him on this because you don't know for a million. He could have sat in something on the bench.
See, that's what I was thinking. I wonder if he sat in something or.
But who's that on? Who keeps the bench?
Well,
clean?
It's on
ball
him,
boys.
Obviously.
The ball
there's
boys
a picture
are
showing
on the
it's on him.
On the road, it's on the ball boys who are not only supposed to pick up the towels, but before the coaches or anybody sits down because they're in suits, you're supposed to clean off all the seats on the bench.
But what would it be? Would it be, I mean, what could he have sat in? What's on the sideline of an NBA basketball team?
Gatorade? Mustard?
Mustard?
They're sitting right next to those fans. There's fans.
Fans put mustard in the seat?
Barry, did you see last week when the referee backed into the waitress?
But the players are separated between the coaches when it comes to the fans, right? It's the fans, then coaches, then players.
Sure, the bench.
Now you
area
have players behind
seats,
you. I mean, fans behind you.
15
yeah.
seats designated for.
But all the coaches
and players
are between the players and the fans.
And
so,
then they're bookended by fans on either end.
there's fans on the other
side.
Yeah,
depending on
the truth
arena.
Is that you can probably throw something at the bench from about 6 feet away if you're. But if it got out of hand,
but I don't think that would happen where somebody would see that someone threw mustard on the scene and just and went then,
exactly.
Eh. But that didn't look like mustard either. The only thing that could possibly be is something darker like
chili
barbecue
dog.
Sauce.
He's setting a chili dog.
How about grape Gatorade? That's dark.
Yeah, but not that's. But don't
have grape Gatorade on the bench.
That is a purple tint.
Yeah, I was gonna say then it would look like he started, not charted. Maybe he sat in a chili dog. That's all I could think of. Is that's to me though? That's just 1,000%.
I feel
like
we've
poop.
Expanded on him sharting more than any other radio show.
That's what we do around
the
here.
City of
where else people. Are you gonna get this?
Yeah. Nowhere, zero. James, I don't even think podcasts will talk about.
Can
it.
Can we get him on the horn and let's see?
No,
James.
Why do you got throwing the word horn though? I don't see that was unnecessary.
That wasn't a shot.
Yeah. Okay.
My bad.
I feel like we're at a Vikings game.
Man, that is that's embarrassing to say the least.
Yeah. It's that white jersey, man. And I'm not saying he did or didn't, but that white jersey
didn't
help.
Oh, I'm
saying
he did.
It did not help.
I'm going to say he did.
Boy, see, there's another whole logic to all this.
I can't argue against it. I mean, how can we say that he did or did? Like, how am I going to go against Bay right now and say he didn't when clearly there's a spot on his shorts? I mean, those HD cameras work for a reason, you know?
Yep. I'm with you.
I don't think back in the day, maybe if it wasn't an HD broadcast, maybe you won't see it.
Right. So I'm trying to think because like, okay, if this was baseball, you're like, oh, that's just pine tar.
Dirt or something.
Dirt, right.
Yeah, or dirt or his bat. Because sometimes they'll do their bat. Like you'll see the guys put it between their legs and like rub the bat. It's weird. I don't know why they do that. But then you're like, oh, that's exactly what it was. And maybe he just rode it like a witch. And got some on his undercarriage.
Well, and we talked about football when players would actually do those kind of things because then you are in the trenches rolling around on the grass and the dirt anyway, and so it's harder to tell unless you're wearing white pants.
Yeah.
But it's not a good position to be in. Literally, the picture wasn't. But then when you see that, you're
like... Was he sick, though? Was there any word that came out if he was sick or had a stomach bug or any of that stuff?
I feel like he wouldn't reveal it unless it was so bad.
Oh, that'd be the first point. Thing. If this happens and there's pictures of poop on me, first thing I'm coming out is, stomach bug. I couldn't help it, but I wasn't coming out of the game. My teammate is more important than my vanity.
Yeah, there's your excuses for all the missed shots and the missed rebounds.
Stomach bug. That's why I went 4-17, and my team is more important than my vanity. So, I thought I was going to fart.
Don't believe I'm sick? Look at the pictures.
Did. Yeah. It was all about the team. That's why I pooped myself. That's what I do on this show. I've pooped on this show before, and it's just because I'm dedicated to being here full time.
But the NBA could be.
Joel's looking at me like, what?
They can't be mad at him for taking a day off for load management, right? Like, haven't you seen the picture, bro? That's why I'm not playing.
I just load managed in my pants.
Like, why aren't you playing, James Harden? Didn't you see the pics circulating all over Barstool, you idiot?
That is so funny.
Guys are calling me Muddy Waters, but we got that dub.
That is a whole new meaning of load management. That is so great. Wow. Nick, you got to write jokes, dude. That's hilarious. Load management. You got to tweet that. Please tweet that. That's so funny.
Oh, he leaned back. All right.
Golly.
All right. So the mystery remains. Did he or didn't he?
Well, so I said yes. Nick
said
no.
Barry
said
he's going to ask James the next home game.
So
we'll find
I say no.
I'm just going to tweet him. James, did you poop yourself? You want me to tweet him?
Please do.
I will.
Please do.
Hey, at James. He's going to block me, isn't he?
No, I don't think
would
you
that
will.
Be any skin off your back since you guys don't talk?
Did you poop yourself? Okay, I'm tweeting it right now.
I think it's at jharden13.
Yeah, that's what I am.
All right.
We are debating it on my show. Nick, I'm going to tag all y'all. Nick says you didn't.
Feel
Joel
free
says
to
you
join
did.
Us on the way to the game.
I wouldn't care. If you can tag me all you want.
At Nick Sharara
said I said he didn't.
No, you said he did.
No, you're just saying that just so you get me in trouble.
Joel said he knows you.
I got immunity. Can't get me in trouble anymore.
Joel said he knows you. That is definitely something you would do.
You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go to break. First half of the show in the books. Second half still to come. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Usual Suspects on a Monday. Excuse me. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here's the second half of the show.
That flew by. I said I was going to tweet James Harden and ask him if he pooped his pants, but he would probably block me. And Chan responds, James Harden don't play defense, bro. He ain't going to block you.
Fantastic.
That's good luck beating that tweet the rest of the week, clones. That's amazing.
That might be tweet of the week, not that, just the day.
Oh, my God. That's tweet of the week. So good. Well done, Chan. You can pack it all up. You're done for the week.
As opposed, fellas, to, I believe, a guy that I've gotten into it before when we first started the show.
Uh-oh.
But you, during the break, were scripting a tweet.
Yes.
To send to the beard.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
T.R. Washington puts, hey, at James Harden 13, did you S yourself? Barry and Joel and the guys are afraid to ask, so I figured I would. Okay.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't have to tweet him now, at least.
Guess you didn't press send. Maybe he's right.
Yeah, because, oh, wow, T.R. Washington, you are...
Are you writing that right now?
Well, I don't follow... I don't know. I don't see anything from T.R. Washington.
He might not follow you.
Yeah, so that's why I wouldn't see it. But, yeah, that was ho stuff. But, you know, that's what people are. They're hoes. So,
evidently, that's probably the kind of back and forth name calling that's going on between Flava Flav and Chuck D.
Boy, this broke my heart.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I don't like this.
So, in case you missed it, Flava Flav has been, we'll say, fired?
Relieved of his duties as hype man for Public Enemy.
Yeah, he is no longer a member of the group Public Enemy. If you believe what Flav says, or the initial story says, there was a huge argument over Bernie Sanders, because actually Chuck D mentions that Flavor Flav wouldn't know the difference between Barry Sanders and Bernie Sanders. Okay, Bernie Sanders rally, the legendary hip hop group, fired Flavor Flav Sunday night, saying Public Enemy and Public Enemy Radio will be moving forward without Flavor Flav. We thank him for his years of service. We wish him well. Evidently, as part of a rally that Public Enemy Radio was going to be taking part in with Bernie Sanders, there was paraphernalia out there that featured the likeness of Flavor Flav, to which he had his lawyers send a cease and desist letter because he was not down with that, or Bernie, or both. Well, as it turns out, Public Enemy Radio, which I guess does not have to involve Flavor Flav or
it's
have him as part of it. And Chuck D said, we're taking part in this. He shouldn't have done that. And there you go. He's out. But if you look at Chuck D's last tweet, he followed that up after this got public and said, the last and final note was my last straw was long ago. It was not about Bernie with Flav. He don't know the difference between Barry Sanders and Bernie Sanders. He don't know either. Flav refused to support, and it's at Sankova, which is a social justice organization founded by the legendary Harry Belafonte that elevates the voices of disenfranchised and promotes peace and equality. And evidently, that didn't sit well with Chuck D and obviously the legendary Harry, but he posts a picture of the two of them fist bumping. You just don't do that. So, obviously, they've had longstanding beef, and whether this was the last straw or the Belafonte thing was the last straw, he's no longer a member of the group.
Well, that sucks. I will say this, though. I'm a big Public Enemy fan. Mm-hmm. Really like their music, but I never thought Flavor Flav added a whole lot to it other than Yeah Boy.
I was going to say, that was the signature. What he was known for. Well, now it's probably, if you didn't know the group, you weren't familiar with the music.
Boy.
He was known for Yeah Boy and The Clock.
Yeah.
The big clock run.
And then, I mean, he had 911 as a joke and a couple other songs that were okay. But I just never felt like Flavor Flav. Like, you could have not had Flavor Flav with Public Enemy and I would have still been a fan. Now, you take Chuck D out of Public Enemy. Same thing. You could have taken Terminator X out of Public Enemy. I'd have still been a fan. To me, it was all about Chuck D. And
I completely agree.
So, not sad, but it is kind of like, oh, man, you hate to see a group that you came up with as a kid and listened to and enjoyed break up like that. But if you get rid of the hype, it ain't that big of a deal. It's not like they kicked Chuck out. If they kicked Chuck D out, that's a whole different ball of wax.
But I was saying, too, we were talking about this when we were talking about Eminem. It's not exactly like it's in the middle of their heyday. We weren't expecting a new Public Enemy album coming out anytime soon. Mm-hmm. What they did is done. It was fantastic. But I think this would be a lot different if this was in their heyday. But right now, I mean, it's like saying that, you know,
right,
20 years from now there's Suspects Radio and only two of the three of us are doing it.
Yeah. No one's gonna care. It's like kicking out one of the four tops. Now you're down to three tops. At this point, no one cares that there's only three tops.
And I think I think Chuck D has a point. I only read two brief stories out on it, but I mean, there's a reason why he's sending that, because he obviously wants money. If money was just coming in for Flavor Flav, do you think he would have made that big a deal? He would have just said, you know what? Chuck D is doing this event with Sanders, whatever. I'm going to support it. But clearly he wants to make money. And it was the lawyer that did it. So something tells me that he's like, hey, can they do this? And the lawyer was like, yeah, they can't do that. We're going to file something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or a lawyer said to him, hey.
Or maybe, yeah.
Yeah. You want to make some coin off of this?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine Flavor Flav. Do we just call him Flavor?
Flav.
Oh, we call him Flav?
Flav, probably, yeah.
His first name is Flavor. I'm going to go with that. I imagine Flavor has a lawyer on the payroll. And so he just picks up the phone and calls his lawyer and says, hey, this is Flavor. Can they do that? And his lawyer goes, I'll send him a cease and desist. No way. You don't think so?
Dude.
I think that's a possibility. I think what you said is a possibility.
In their heyday, I believe he had someone on payroll.
What do you think his net worth is? I'm Googling it now.
Think about this now.
What do you think his net worth is?
20 mil.
Nope, less than that.
10. What do you think?
I'm say 5.
3.
Dang. He's obviously not making that much money.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So there's no lawyer on payroll. Okay, he probably called 1-800-LAWYER and said, is this something that we can pursue? And he said, yeah, boy, let's go get him.
You think they tried to hammer him?
Well, and I'm saying, because I think the lawyer said, yeah, boy, when he called 1-800-LAWYER and said, can I go after him? Because on the flip side, it's one thing to say as a group with that name that you're all associated with. But he went off on his own and did his own thing otherwise with Flavor of Love and all the reality TV and all the other things that he did. But I just don't think that he was rolling in coin. It's a different kind of yeah, boy.
That was the James Harden.
I know.
Flavor version. Right. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, so that's a different twist.
Well, that sucks, but at least Chuck D's still involved.
I think you're right. If you take Chuck D out, then that really it would have been more devastating. This is, I feel like, is semi devastating.
Yeah,
because you do need a hype man. Flavor Flav has been able to kind of make a name for himself alone as a separate entity, like you mentioned,
with the reality shows, right?
And a bunch of us, he was roasted one time, and I felt like that did good for his career, in my opinion.
Brigitte Nielsen, that whole Flavor of Love thing rolled over into they're a couple, and they were capitalizing on appearances and tours
now.
And
what do you guys think Chuck D's net worth is?
Oh, as a producer and everything else, it's big.
If you say Flavor Flav has 3, I'm going to have to guess and assume at least 10. So I'm going to say 10.
I'm going to say 40.
18.
Okay.
Should have said 20. Dang.
Yeah. But still, way more than the 3 mil. And they were, but Chuck probably wrote a lot of the lyrics. You know what I mean? He
also
was responsible for a lot.
Obviously, in both groups, NWA and PE, you had a guy that was a mastermind behind the production and all the other things. But in the case of NWA, you had a ton of talent also as part of the group. But I really think that in the case of Public Enemy, it was Chuck D.
Well, the music was the Bomb Squad, if I'm not mistaken. The music, he wasn't responsible for like the beats of the music. Mm-hmm. He was responsible for the lyrics, the message.
But I'm just saying, the sound, his voice, as the front man, it was all Chuck D, which is totally different than when you look at NWA and you've got Eazy-E and you've got Cube and Dre.
Well, Cube wrote most of the lyrics for those guys, for all of NWA. So if you were to probably look at their net worth, outside the fact that Eazy-E owns...
I'm not talking about net worth, though. I'm just saying, talking about just pure talent across the board.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, Chuck D was everything to Public Enemy, no doubt.
And Nick, I don't know if you want to guess this one, but I can tell you, because if you go on the flip side of net worth of the guys in NWA, I mean... Cube and Dre. Dre's off the charts.
Yeah, well, he's the first billionaire, right?
Yeah, he's
mogul, rap mogul.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Because of production and beats and all that other stuff. And I would assume between Cube acting and all of, and then I don't know if the big three is a profitable thing or not, but
well, I imagine Cube though, like you said, act the Friday franchise, the Are We There Yet? But his records after he left NWA, he still probably gets royalties off solos, of NWA because he had the writing credits for all those songs. So as they made money, even though he was gone, he was still making money. I would imagine it would go Dre and then Cube. And then, even though he's dead, but I imagine Eazy just because of his investment in Ruthless. If you're Ren, DJ Yellow's probably worth like $17, though. That's the sad thing is he was there, but he was just like, no one cared about DJ Yellow from NWA. Although, when they did was it the History of Hip Hop or Hip Hop Evolution? I think they interviewed him. And he did an interview with... Vlad TV about NWA and even Suge Knight and all that. It was pretty fascinating. He was the one guy that kind of came out and spoke about all of it. But yeah, that's Flav going is surprising, but at least it wasn't Chuck. That's the takeaway.
That is the takeaway. And the takeaway here is we're going to step away for a quick break. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number two, 3 hour show. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel.
Somebody had a question for me, but I think this is better directed to Nick. But they say, hey, Barry, off topic, do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? I just got into season one, just wanted to see what your thoughts were. I actually have never seen an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I feel like I should.
I've seen every single episode from seasons one through either six or seven, and then I stopped.
Is it that good?
And for me, it was. Nick, that's pretty, pretty, pretty
I think David Nuno will completely endorse my comments here. It's a dry humor. If you don't like dry humor.
I love dry humor.
It's why you will not like it.
It's why I liked Letterman over Leno. Is Letterman's
I'm with humor you on
was
that.
A lot drier.
Now, I've never seen it either.
That's why I like British comedy, because they have a very dry sense of, or very silly, one of the two.
I always confuse who is the writer. Was he writer of Seinfeld or Friends? Which one was
Seinfeld.
It? Seinfeld. Yep. Okay. I was never a Seinfeld fan.
Really?
At all. But I love Larry David. I would hang out with Larry David. Like,
he
he's
does
cool.
seem like a cool guy to hang out with.
He's cool. Like, he's super, like, and his writing is unbelievable. He does a really good job of connecting the episodes. And it's still a story despite a lot of it being improv. Like,
I was going to say, I heard a lot of that show is just
scripted.
Made up. It's just they have an idea of what they want to shoot.
It's how he acts in real life, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. So I've heard that in Arrested Development, because that's another show that I never watched that I'm told is just absolutely hilarious.
Watch the episode about the bra-sniffing dog. That's hilarious.
On Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Larry David picking up a hooker to take the diamond lane to get to the Dodgers
game.
That's
the one we talked
about. That's absolutely hilarious.
And then when they get to the Dodgers game, that was the spinoff of the documentary about that was in jail.
Exactly. Who told me? I think it was Joel or
one
of you guys told
me
about
it. It was one of our movies of the week to watch.
That you guys didn't.
No, I did.
We did eventually.
Yeah.
We did late.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, so it's, you know what? Nora's out this week. Nora is out of town.
I saw that.
And I'm by myself. And maybe I will, in between stints on Pornhub, I will watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, there's so many good dude. He's so good because he does things that you're not like there's a episode where he accidentally gets his friend's daughter drunk. There's an episode where he takes the diamond lane. Dude, there's so many good episodes like throughout that whole.
How does one get to Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Have access to it.
It's not legal on Netflix. It's Hulu. I'm good. I have a Hulu subscription.
It's on Hulu.
That's what it says. 10 seasons available on Hulu. Or maybe you have to have HBO on Hulu. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Look, add HBO to any Hulu plan. No, thanks. I'm not into that much. Okay, so you have to have an HBO subscription.
Unbelievable writer, dry humor. If you like that, I think you'll like him. If you don't, okay. I'm not sure you will.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I have Kodi installed on a laptop somewhere or something. Maybe a Fire Stick. I don't know. I doubt it. That's illegal. I would never do that. What's next?
Gee, that was throw it in my lap. Let me tell you something. All of that.
No, I'm gonna tell you. I'm kind of pissed at my wife.
Okay.
She made you downgrade on your TV subscriptions or something?
No.
She didn't stock the fridge before she left?
No. I can stop at Chick-fil-A on my own. I don't need her.
Okay.
She texted me. So she left this morning, and I get a text from her, and she's driving to Austin, and they've got a bunch of stuff to do. So she's in Austin with a couple of the people that she works with. And they saw this person that was in trouble and needed help. So they stopped and helped them in Austin. And she goes, hey, because I'm in Austin next week doing a show for – I'm opening for Dean Del Rey, which I'm very excited about. If you're a Rogan and Marc Maron follower, then you've probably heard of this dude. He just got passed at the Comedy Store, so it's really cool. But she goes, where are you performing? And I said, oh, it's called the Venue ATX. She goes, oh, well, we just stopped to help this guy who was in trouble. I guess his car was messed up. And he's a comedian, and he's at this place called The Buzz. I don't know what the hell it was called. Some venue I never heard of. The Buzzkill or something. I was like, oh, what's his name? And she told me, I was like, oh, I've never heard of him. And she said, well, because we helped him, he said, to come to the show, and he'll pay for our drinks. I was like, oh. And in my mind, I'm like, she ain't going to that. She never goes to comedy shows. So I was like, are you going? She was like, yeah. What?
That's hilarious. Oh,
wow.
So she's not going to your shows.
That's the first thing I was thinking. Barry always says no. That is hilarious.
You're married to a comedian, and you never go to comedy shows. And guess what? I'll buy your drinks, too. So instead, you go on the road and get offered to go to a comedy show, and now you're on. That's my wife. That is my wife in a nutshell, right there.
Wow.
Now, what would really make this worse is if she texts you tomorrow and goes,
this guy's hilarious.
She goes, this guy's hilarious. And two, you know, I was rolling around Austin with nothing to do listening to sports radio today.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, there's
this great show in Austin. Listen, woman. Oh, yeah. I was just like, you've got to be kidding me right now.
She didn't even hesitate when she told you. Didn't even phase her.
Is this happening? I don't even think she realized what she had just done.
Yeah, that's... I live that too, by the way. Similar, though. Yeah. Although, Lisa's a cheater listener. Because she always says she doesn't listen, and then when I get in the car to move her car...
She's got stuff to say.
97.5 on, and I'm like, yeah, and you went to the pickup line. Hey, don't worry about it. I heard it. Believe me, the one that I will never outlive is the Al Bundy comment.
Oh,
when she was pregnant.
Somebody said Prime or Netflix for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay. I've never had
Prime.
Well,
I'll try to find it. I will try to find it.
And so you are religiously involved in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Not anymore. I was. But when they stopped, they took a hiatus either after season 6 or 7. And it was at least 2 years. And then they picked it back up on season 8 or 9. And I haven't watched since. But the first 6, I'll be honest with you, I loved it.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it.
Cool. Well, I'm going to, maybe that'll be my, what I do this week is watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and Arrested Development.
Give it a real good chance though.
I will.
Cause you'll see how the episodes connect, and I think you'll appreciate that writing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I've never watched either one of them either, but
what does Lisa tell Joe? Like that radio play-by-play voice on the Rockets does fantastic.
There's this guy I heard. He does Mavs games and he rhymes. It's amazing.
Yeah, no.
What?
No. I get.
I hear he's got a radio show too. I took a listen. That's so good. So good. You would lose your bleep, wouldn't you?
He's losing his bleep right now.
No.
You're making it up and he's getting mad.
I'm thinking about you guys making this stuff up, but I'm thinking about the reality that I live instead sometimes.
That makes you angry?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, she doesn't understand. Like, I understand her business, right? So on TV stuff, and because I was also heavily involved in TV, I can give her input on contracts or relations, all those other, or, you know, presentation on the air, things like that. But on the flip side, she doesn't understand that if I went on the air and what she would think that a good husband should do on sports radio, I wouldn't be in this job.
What?
Yeah, I shouldn't be talking about hot chicks. I shouldn't be talking about the 3 o'clock pickup hour topics. I shouldn't be, you know, and I'm like, you have lost your mind. What do you want guys to talk about? Like recipes?
I was going
to
say, what do you think?
But is it that surprising that she's reacting like that? Let's be real.
I mean, I have a wife and she don't care.
Every once in a while she'll get mad at you for something that you say. She's usually really good about it.
The only time Nora gets mad is if I say something, like she's probably going to be mad that I told y'all about that text conversation.
Right.
The only time Nora gets mad is when I say something personal that involves her. Because she's like, I don't want people to know my business.
Oh, Lisa's like that too.
But that's it. If I just keep it like superficial, or if the joke's always on me, she don't care. Or if I'm saying so and so's hot, she don't care. This is a woman. Yeah, no, like,
see, I feel like I've been in radio long enough to, I know girls that I've dated, I'm not married to, don't appreciate those.
That's
comments.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah, that is correct.
They do not like it.
You got to understand though, my wife's really cool. Like we don't have a jealous relationship. We've never been that couple that worries about any of that stuff. Like, she probably would get mad if I told you this, but when I used to travel, when we first met, I was on the road a lot. Even when I was married, I traveled, and I'd be like, hey, the guys, we're going to go to a strip club. She'd be like, all right, take out $300. I'm like, what? I'll take out $40, and I'm leaving with change. Are you crazy? But that's the kind of person she was. She didn't care. Yeah. To this day, when I told her I was going to the strip club with Pops, she was like, have fun.
No, you told us that.
Yeah, she doesn't care. There, so she's like the least jealous person I've ever met in my life. So if I'm on the radio say Roxy Diaz is hot, she probably looks her up and goes, yeah, she's pretty hot.
Lisa's not jealous. She's just mad about the topics.
She always goes, no, I have 100% trust in you. And I know you wouldn't do anything. She goes, but those dumb chicks would.
I thought you were saying those dumb idiots on the show.
No,
but like Nora doesn't care about any of that doesn't want me to tell personal stuff.
Of Nora's text to you, the thing I'd be worried about is her safety if she's just helping people on the side of the road or...
She's with coworkers.
Like a group of people.
Yeah.
Right?
There's men and women, I guess. I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And somebody's like, Barry, are you sure she's not cheating on you? Bro, I've been married. Okay, we've been married for 22 years.
It's not even funny.
No, I'm just saying like...
I'm not you. I'm saying the listener texting in.
We've been married for 22 years. If I was going to worry about that, you think I would still be married to her? We've been together, not married, but we've been together for 22 years. Trust me, the last thing I think about is her cheating on me. That's just not a thing in our relationship. So, nice.
Chan wins Twitter today.
Again?
So his next follow-up was, I followed this guy named Ben on Twitter who covers the Rockets.
He wants to know if you bleeped your pants, James. Did he do it? Did he tag Ben? That would be the best. We have to do that to Ben.
I think he's talking about.
I'll do it.
No, he's talking right about now. Like Lisa.
Oh.
Like, hey, babe, I followed this guy named Ben. Who's rocking.
I thought he tweeted James Harden and said, hey, Ben DeBose wants to know if you pooped your pants. I'm going to do that, though. I'm going to be like, hey, Ben DeBose wants to know. Ben will lose his mind. Don't do that. Are you kidding me?
Why don't you just say, I got a guy that'll clean it? I got to go to break. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.